To First Baptist Livingston, great to have you all back. The reason that we're watching that video tonight is because the next article in our Baptist Faith and Message study, Article 14, is an article on cooperation. Baptists might be the only denomination in history who does have an article on cooperation, but as we'll see tonight, it really comes into a core value that we as Baptists have regarding the mission of God and being autonomous local churches, meaning that we are Jesus' church in this area, and there's no kind of board or governing board anywhere else that tells us what we need to do as a church. We seek the lordship of Jesus Christ in that, but we also cooperate with thousands of other churches around the United States in order to fulfill God's mission. And one of the ways we do that is through the cooperative program. So that's why we were watching that tonight. But so cooperation, I'm going to do as I do every Sunday night. I'm going to read the article in full and then just kind of break down some key elements of it for us tonight. This is how the article reads. Christ's people should, as occasion requires, organize such associations and conventions as may best secure cooperation for the great objects of the kingdom of God. Such organizations have no authority over one another or over the churches. They are voluntary and advisory bodies designed to elicit, combine, and direct the energies of our people in the most effective manner. Members of New Testament churches should cooperate with one another in carrying forward the missionary, educational, and benevolent ministries for the extension of Christ's kingdom. Christian unity in the New Testament sense is spiritual harmony and voluntary cooperation for common ends by various groups of Christ's people. Cooperation is desirable between the various Christian denominations when the end to be attained is itself justified, and when such cooperation involves no violation of conscience or compromise of loyalty to Christ and His Word as revealed in the New Testament. Now, there are many verses that kind of undergird this article about cooperation. I'll lead us to just a few. I would encourage you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as we'll see an explanation that Paul gives us for cooperation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But let me first read to you two verses from the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 say, "Whoever is among you of all his people, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. And let each survivor in whatever place he sojourns be assisted by the men of his place with silver and gold, with goods and with beasts. Besides freewill offerings for the house of God that is in Jerusalem." What we see here is the people who have been displaced for so long in the Old Testament coming back to Jerusalem and cooperating together in order to build the house of God once again. And so just a beautiful picture of all God's people cooperating for the greater good of building back God's house there in the Old Testament. Then a picture of cooperation in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 3, where I called you to turn, starting in verse 5, Paul writes this, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care of how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. A picture of cooperation here, that Jesus Christ, that God through Jesus Christ is really the one doing the work in the Christian church and growing the church and bringing people to faith in Christ. And no matter who the leader is and who the pastor is, they are servants of Christ for what Christ is seeking to do. You know, we cooperate with other churches around our area, and we pray for other churches in our area because we're not in competition with one another. We're all about the same mission and the same goal. And so this is just a picture of cooperation for the kingdom of God and his gospel. Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 5. Paul writes, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." This idea of humility is at the foundation of cooperation. You know, our cooperation, our church cooperates with other churches, with associations, and with conventions. And that's all grounded in the fact that we all share a common salvation, and we all share common purposes that can be best accomplished when we work together. Think about the fact that we are a part of a worldwide kingdom work with others who share our faith and our values and our worldview. When the very first Baptist churches were formed in London, they organized themselves into an association. And they did that for the purpose of mutual accountability to the gospel and to engage in common purposes and united witness together. We as a church want to be the greatest cheerleader for other churches whose faith and values are aligned with ours. We must have no spirit of competition with other churches, but see ourselves as co-laborers in the mission of God's kingdom building. So just some things to highlight in this article about cooperation. While Baptists began cooperating with other like-minded Baptist churches for kingdom causes in the 17th century, cooperation kind of became the defining word for Southern Baptists in the 20th century. Cooperation provides the fundamental reason why we as Southern Baptists are so unique as a denomination. It may be that Southern Baptists alone, like I said earlier, have an article for cooperation in their doctrinal statement. So what does the New Testament say about the topic of cooperation? Well, not a lot in direct statements, but what we have are more along the lines of spiritual implications. So let me just give you a few. First, there were churches in Acts, the churches of Antioch and Jerusalem cooperated in a doctrinal question about the nature of the gospel. This was not just one church trying to figure out a gospel issue, but they all came together in order to decide together. They cooperated in that way. Second, Paul encouraged some churches to take a collection, an offering for the saints of Jerusalem, the Jerusalem church that was in such need. For Paul, the offering demonstrated the unity of the one gospel for Jews and Greeks. He was asking these basically Gentile churches to give to the efforts of the Jewish church in Jerusalem who were hurting and needed help, to cooperate together with them. Third, Paul received financial gifts from the church at Philippi to further the gospel. He also anticipated help from the church at Rome. Thus, the New Testament speaks of these cooperative partnerships in things like doctrine and benevolence and gospel extension. One theologian notes that the Baptist faith and message identifies the rationale for cooperation. It defines the nature of cooperation, and it provides limits to cooperation, which I think are all helpful. And I know you think, well, cooperation, this isn't the most exciting, you know, topic for a Sunday night, but I want to encourage you to think through and to even dream about what we as thousands of Southern Baptist churches are able to do in cooperation and things like our theological seminaries. I'm a prime example of that. I was able to go and get my master's degree in a theological seminary because of churches like yours that give to the cooperative program and make that more affordable to be able to do, to train our leaders for the upcoming generation. Also, in regards to mission, our North American Mission Board and our International Mission Board, none of those things could exist without the cooperation of all of our churches together working and giving to get the gospel to new places and other places in our nation and around the world. So it's important to understand this idea of cooperation. First, the Baptist Faith and Message identifies the missionary mandate of the kingdom of God as the rationale for cooperation. If God had given us a mission that just had to do with our little community and our little area, then sure, we might be able to just go about it on our own. But the truth is, he told us to go to all nations and proclaim the gospel. And so for us all to unite together in order to get to the nations is just an extreme value. Early Baptists realized that the kingdom mandate necessitated that a lot of churches were going to have to cooperate together, because we could do a lot more together than any one single church could do. By the mid-17th century, associations became an organizational feature. Associations, like we're involved in an association, the Eastern Louisiana Baptist Association, and that association allows us as churches to join in mission efforts, things in evangelism. It allows us to share a common faith and doctrine together. And so those things were established over time as there was this need to cooperate together as churches to be about the mission of God in the world. Southern Baptists have this convention model. We just finished our starting point time with some newer folks who've been visiting our church. And one of the things I do is I just explain to them what it means that we're a Southern Baptist church. It means that we have voluntarily chosen to be a part of a convention of churches with our values and with our faith, so that we can do so much more and be a part of something so much greater than ourselves in regards to missions and theological education. The convention model allows for accountability of churches. In 1931, the SBC annual meeting defined the limitation of the nature of the convention, that churches, not individuals, associations, or mission societies, would elect messengers, not delegates, to the annual SBC meeting, now held in June every year. We went to it last year, Robin and I did, and we'll be going in Birmingham. And that's very helpful because we are not the Southern Baptist Church. What that means is there's not some ruling class all sitting around a table somewhere, and we are all extensions of that one place. That's how a lot of denominations work. You know, like the United Methodist Church considers themselves one church in just many different locations. And that's not who we are as a denomination. As a denomination, we are all local churches who take the responsibility of God's mission in our local places. But then we come together for this larger mission of getting the gospel to the world. That's the heart and vision behind our denomination and being part of the Southern Baptist Convention. These voluntary relationships serve in a lot of manners. I love being able to talk with other pastors who are going through, their churches are going through and experiencing a lot of the same things we are. And so we get together and we encourage one another and we advise one another on different aspects of ministry. And that all happens because we have volunteered to be a denomination together. Third, the Baptist Faith and Message, it provides limits to our cooperation with other denominations, which is helpful. Because I've talked about before how we have some theological issues that we have to hold in a closed hand. God is so clear about the nature of his gospel and who Jesus is and what he came to do that if you stray from those truths in any way, you're no longer preaching the same gospel and you're no longer on the same mission in the world. And so it's important that we limit and define what cooperation means, especially when it comes to other denominations. So one way the statement says it is that the end or purpose of the interdenominational cooperation must be justifiable. You know, throughout much of the 20th century, certain groups, notably the National Council of Churches, espoused this goal of ecumenicalism. It was this idea that all the churches should come together under one large church, under one large banner that's simply the church. But there were two reasons why Southern Baptists had to reject that invitation of membership into that kind of community. First, the SBC is not a church in itself, and so it would mean each local church would have to come to that decision. But secondly, and even more importantly, the SBC cannot direct the local churches to join something like this, because an organic unity of churches means the loss of a lot of core values that we hold dear. So Southern Baptists, yes, have to reject sometimes cooperation with others because the end is not justifiable, because they don't believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God, and that the gospel, getting the gospel to the ends of the earth, is the final mission of the church. And so there's these core essentials that we hold to and that defines our cooperation with others. A few just issues that I thought just kind of helped us understand these things a little bit better. Since the 1600s, Baptists have formed associations, that's a group of churches that voluntarily join together for fellowship and encouragement and missions, and churches are members of these associations together. Churches may also choose to form a convention. You know, we have a statewide convention, the Louisiana Baptist Convention, as well as the national body, which is the Southern Baptist Convention. And then this is the most exciting thing about cooperation in my mind, that in 2000, the SBC celebrated the 75th anniversary of the cooperative program. This program was adopted in 1925 at the SBC annual meeting. And under the cooperative program, each church decides to send whatever portion that they feel the Lord is calling them to, whatever percentage of its undesignated income, to the cooperative program. And these funds are sent to the state conventions and then through the state conventions to the national committee in Nashville, Tennessee. And these are dispersed amongst our entities like the International Mission Board, the North American Mission Board, and the seminaries. And the cooperative program was this huge, major step forward for the SBC. The program has provided more funds for Baptist institutions and agencies and this systematic budgeting process that really hasn't been seen in any other kind of denomination. We have six seminaries around our nation that are made up of students who are studying, like I said, at much lesser costs because of the way we cooperate. The cooperative program has in many ways been the means whereby God has allowed us to expand both nationally and internationally for the cause of Christ and the advance of the gospel. M.E. Dodd, who was a very long-time Southern Baptist pastor, listen to what he said about the cooperative program. The cooperative program is intercession in behalf of all our great causes which Christ has committed to our trust. We believe that Southern Baptists should go forward together year by year in high and holy endeavor until his kingdom shall stretch from shore to shore, and his name shall be known from the river to the ends of the earth. Money given to the church and the cooperative program will go farther, rise higher, spread wider, work deeper, and last longer than when given to any other place or cause. It's the idea that God's mission is worked out through his church. And when we cooperate to give and to go together, we can see his mission accomplished. Louis Newton, who is another Southern Baptist pastor, says, "The cooperative program offers us today, as it has since the hour it was adopted, the surest method of eliciting, combining, and directing the energies of all our people in the propagation of the gospel. It is simple, practical, and scriptural. It has won its way into the confidence of our people. It deserves our complete support in our prayers, our gifts, and our loyalty." And I think it's important as church members to understand what the cooperative program is and what it does. In terms of theological education and training, I'm certainly there in that, and I've certainly benefited from that myself in regards to our mission as well. This idea that, yes, we are a local church, an autonomous local church, but we choose to cooperate with others for the greater mission. I mean, think about it. When we watch those videos from the North American Mission Board and the International Mission Board of things being done in other places and around the world, you have a part in that. You're a part of that by being a member of this church and by giving. We give 10% of everything that comes in straight to the cooperative program because we believe in this partnership together. And so this is a distinctive of Baptist life. I know it's, like I say, it's not the most exciting article of all the articles of the Baptist faith and message, but it is exciting when you get to see and when you get to realize how many people across our country through this denomination are giving to one thing, the main thing, to get the gospel of Jesus tangibly, practically, and all, in word and in deed to so many places around the world. I mean, from our time in seminary to our time on the mission field to now pastoring this church, none of this would be possible without the way that we cooperate together as churches. So I just want to remind us of that. I've got a letter in the mail this week, and I had seen it on Facebook too, and I called Brother Bubba. You know, Bethel Baptist had a special day today called Back to Bethel. You know, Brother Bubba hasn't been there very long, and so what he did was he led the church to do a day called Back to Bethel, and they've reached out to people who maybe they've lost contact with, people who used to be vital members of that church, and now they've just maybe just fallen out of going to church or whatever it is, and so they were just reaching out to them, and they had a great morning this morning, seeing some faces maybe they haven't seen in quite a while, and it just reminded me of if the church is going to grow and make an impact on this community, it's going to be all of God's churches together. And so let's pray for our churches. Let's pray for our institutions. Pray for wisdom and leadership of places in our denomination. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our gathering as we gather in Birmingham to, I'm thankful and privileged to be able to be the representative of our church in that meeting. It's certainly the largest business meeting I've ever been at. Thousands of people in one room at this annual business meeting, but it's also just a great time of encouragement. So I thank you so much for your support for ministries like this as we seek to not just be a local church in a defined area, which is so important, but also to be about the greater mission of the Great Commission and the kingdom of God. To go to every place around the world. One of our most famous Southern Baptist pastors of all time was W.A. Criswell. And so I want us to watch one more video. And this is a video of him praying for Southern Baptist churches and praying for the cooperative program and the efforts of it. And so we'll watch this and then I'll say a prayer together and we'll close.